My father has an old guitar and he plays me folk songs. My father has an old guitar and he plays me folk songs. There is nothing I want more than to play like him.
Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Mitch Tyne.
And I'm Bonnie North. Singer-songwriter Benjamin Scheuer has had a lot happen to him in his 33 years. His father died suddenly when Scheuer was 13. His family drifted apart. He then learned the guitar, and then he was diagnosed with stage 4 Hodgkin's lymphoma at 28.
After surviving the cancer, Scheuer went on to craft an award-winning one-man show about it all called The Lion. Somewhere in there, he also toured with Mary Chapin Carpenter.
Scheuer is now in Milwaukee to perform The Lion at the Milwaukee Rep through early November. He stopped by to chat with us and to perform a couple of the songs from the show, including this one called Cookie Tin Banjo.
The more we play together, the more I fall in love with music. And I realize that my banjo is a toy that I've outgrown. I want strings of steel and something new and something real. And so he gets me a guitar to call my own. Then Dad says to me on this fine afternoon, let's sit on the stairs, I'll teach you to tune. He hands me a pick, one that's little and black. He shows me the G chord. I've never looked back. Now buried somewhere in a closet is my cookie tin banjo. In my arms is my guitar, my greatest source of joy. For the life that I have now, I'm grateful to my father, who gave the gift of music to his boy. It started with a simple homemade toy.
Benjamin Scheuer, thank you so much. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you very much for having me on the program, Bonnie.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Cookie Tin Banjo. And that song tells me so much about you and about your love of music and how music saved you. Really?
It's music. Music has absolutely been the saving grace of my life. That song is the opening number as well as the closing number of the show that I'm here in Milwaukee playing at the Milwaukee Rep. It's called The Lion, and it talks about some pretty serious things in my life as well as some pretty joyous things. And especially through the serious things, music is the thing that got me through.
You started with your cookie tin banjo. You went to the guitar. You have 7 of them on stage when you're doing this performance. Am I right, 7?
There's 7. I play 6 of them. One of them is the understudy guitar in case I happen to knock over one of the guitars and break something. Yeah.
When you write, this is a show. We should be clear. You are a singer-songwriter, but what we're talking about is almost this wonderful hybrid of musical theater and a singer-songwriter performance.
Yeah, I was playing some autobiographical songs that were on a record called The Bridge. I'd made a record called The Bridge with my band Escapist Papers, and I'm from New York City, and I was playing these songs with my band, most often though on my own, in coffee shops like Jack's Coffee, the Vagabond Cafe, the Cornelius Street Cafe, and I didn't know what I was going to say between the songs. I knew what I was playing, I'd memorized that, but I'm bad at improvising. You know, and so I thought, well, what if I write down the stuff I'm going to say between songs and memorize it? Then I can see when people are getting bored at a coffee shop, you go pee, you get another cup of coffee. And so I thought, I want to make those moments the most interesting moments now. I want to go and rewrite those. And so I wrote down what I was going to say between songs. And then I realized, well, actually, song 4 should be different. So I'd rewrite song 4. And then I'd say, oh, the thing after song 4 that now goes into song 5, I should rewrite that little story or that joke. And I realized I was writing a script and writing a score, and that ostensibly is a piece of theater. And I wanted to play the most compelling coffee shop gig I could, and that's where the show The Lion started. That's where it came from.
But the songs came from, as you said, stuff that happened to you. One of those things was a very serious illness.
Yeah, The Lion, it's a true story. And when I was 28, I was diagnosed with stage 4 Hodgkin's lymphoma. It's an advanced stage cancer. And it was in my bones and my organs, and it was pretty bad. And I did 6 months of chemotherapy, once every 2 weeks, 12 doses. I was treated by a wonderful doctor named Jeff Tepler at Cornell New York Hospital. I saw Jeff this weekend, actually, by coincidence. We were at the same wedding. So I ran into Dr. Tepler.
I'm sure he was happy to see you in this form.
You know, I mean, he said to me, his job is to save people's lives. He also said, well, Benjamin, you're a young songwriter, and, you know, songwriters tend to, you know, start writing worse songs as they go to older annoying songs. So, you know, get at it. I had to save your life so you could write some good songs now. I was like, well, thanks, Dr. Tepler. I guess that's half of a compliment. Actually, you know, he is a character, Jeff Tepler, is a character in the music video for the title track in the show for the song The Lion. There's an animated music video for it done by Peter Bainton. He's a British animated director. And we made an animated video out of cardboard. It's Cardboard Lions, a pride of cardboard lions. It tells the whole story of the song, which is actually the whole story of the show in 3 minutes. It's four generations of my family all stacked together. Made of cardboard. And Jeff Tepler is the doctor in the video, and he's a penguin. And he's running alongside the lions, but of course penguins don't know how to run that fast, so we put him on scooters. So he's scooting along next to the lions.
Does he know that he's part of the video?
He does. He's seen the video, and he came to The Lion when it opened off-Broadway at the Manhattan Theater Club in New York in June 2014. He was there on opening night. It was a real honor to be able to play for him after he had afforded me the opportunity to play it all.
And that's what this show is. I mean, there's so many moments that are that poignant, and yet there's also these moments that are very funny, and like any life, but you've managed to somehow distill it into this story that is really compelling to those of us who don't know you yet.
Well, that's credit to Mr. Sean Daniels, and Sean is the director of the show The Lion. And Sean and I met at the Goodspeed Theater in Connecticut back in January 2013. I was a writer in residence at the Goodspeed. It was, you know, 2 feet of snow on the ground. Sean was living in a house next door to me directing the new show written by two guys called Mark Holman and Greg Kotis, who won a Tony for their Broadway show Year in Town. And we all became friends.
Great show.
Oh, it's a great show. Mark and Greg are amazing writers. And, you know, we'd all hang out in the evenings and play each other the songs we were working on. And I got invited up to a theater in Vermont for a week in April 2013 to work on my show, whatever it was going to be. And they said, you know, Benjamin, why don't you bring a director? You could use some new perspective. And so I called Sean and I asked him if he could recommend some young theater directors. I didn't know anybody else, so I figured Sean would know. I figured that Sean himself was way out of my league. In hindsight, it turns out I'm definitely correct. He is way out of my league. But he offered the names of three people, and then he said, you know what, Benjamin, I'll direct your show, man. And I got so excited, and I said, cool, well, how would you do that? And he said, well, let's be clear, like, you don't have a show yet. There's nothing to direct, pal. You have two songs, maybe, you know, you're going to cut the rest of it. I'd help you build the show that you want. And so we went up to Vermont for a week with a copy of Joseph Campbell's book, A Hero with a Thousand Faces. And Campbell is the 20th century American historian who codified what's known as the hero's journey. And, you know, it's a protagonist who wants something, and you try to get it and you fail. In a tragedy, you try to get it again and you die. In a comedy, you try to get it again and you get it. And in a drama, you try to get it again, you don't get it, and in fact, you realize you wanted something else all along. And so Sean and I used Joseph Campbell's model, and we built the whole entirety of the show, The Lion. We put it on note cards, blue cards for songs, white cards for scenes. And if you want your music to do most of the work, you want to have more blue cards and white cards. And then we went to the Edinburgh Festival in Scotland's biggest theater festival in the world, 2,500 shows. And we were playing the show there to, you know, seven people a night, maybe six people in a little black box theater. And I was rewriting it every day. And the song Weather the Storm, which I'm going to play in just a little bit, Sean said to me before opening night, he said, Benjamin, you're missing a song. Dad's got to sing. Dad's got to sing in the beginning before he dies. In the beginning, you know, my father died when I was 13, about 20 years ago. I'm 33 now. But my dad in the story didn't sing a song. And so we wrote Weather the Storm the night before we opened. And then at the end of the Edinburgh Festival, the show won the award for best lyrics in the festival. I was not expecting that, and it was an incredible honor. And then we went to London, and we played there. And then we went to New York, and we won a Drama Desk for Best Solo Performance. Alums of that award are Whoopi Goldberg and Ian McKellen and Billy Crystal. And then we went back to London, and we won the award for Best New Musical. And, you know, I wasn't even thinking of it as a musical, Bonnie. I was just trying to play the best gig I could. I like playing songs with my friends. I like playing the guitar and telling stories. And so is my version of that. It's got better lighting design, you know? It's got good lighting. That's due to Ben Stanton, who's got beautiful blue eyes. Ben, if you're out there, I love your eyes, buddy.
Well, let's hear Weather the Storm. This is, as you said, this is the one that Dad actually gets to sing.
Yeah, and this is Weather the Storm from the show The Lion, and this song is going to be released as a single in a few weeks' time in October 2015, along with an animated music video.
Gather round, children, come here to my side. Sit by the fire where it's warm. I'll tell you something was once told to me about the way that we weather the storm. It's not how long the rain falls, or how hard the wind blows, or how deep is the snow in the road, nor the balance we fake when we feel the ground shake and we think that our world will explode. It's the help that we give. It's the love that we live. It's our pride in the friendships we form. It's the courage we show facing things we don't know. It's the way that we weather the storm. If you try to stand tall, but you slip and you fall, in the earth is the sound of the stars. Truth gets revealed when you're broken and healed. Every heart is made stronger by scars. And it's not how long the rain falls, or how hard the wind blows, or how deep is the snow in the road, nor the balance we fake when we feel the ground shake and we think that our world will explode. It's the help that we give. It's the love that we live. It's our pride in the friendships we form. It's the courage we show facing things we don't know. It's the way that we weather the storm. So go on your journeys, be bold and be brave. Be lions, my boys, and be strong. And when it is such that it all feels too much, then remember the words to this song. It's not how long the rain falls, or how hard the wind blows, or how deep is the snow in the road, nor the balance we fake when we feel the ground shake and we think that our world will explode. It's the help that we give. It's the love that we live. It's our pride in the friendships we form. It's the courage we show facing things we don't know. It's the way that we weather the storm. It's the way that we weather the storm.
Weather the Storm, Benjamin Scheuer, in Lake Effects Performance Studio from his show The Lion. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Do you hear your dad singing that?
No. I'm glad you asked that. So in the show, that's a song that I gave to my father, I should say the character of my father, to sing. And so The Lion is a true story. I think the best description of it, in fact, is autobiofictionography. And the reason that fiction is in there at all is because the show's 66 minutes and 40 seconds long, and I tell 30 years of it. And so when I say, here's a song that my father used to sing to me, in fact, my father sung many, many songs to me. And rather than trying to play a song that he actually sang to me, I'm trying to play a song that evokes the feeling that I felt when my father sang to me. So I remember my father singing a song like Abby Yo-Yo or Puff the Magic Dragons, you know, old Pete Seeger stuff. But by nature of writing my father into the show, I have to simplify. And so just as I don't think of my father when I sing those songs specifically, you know, my mother is a character as well. My brothers are a character. And even I, Benjamin Scheuer play the character of Ben. And I don't always think of or even relate to my own character directly. I remember that it happened. I remember that I was a snotty teenager and a frustrated lover. Of course, I got that covered now. Thank you very much. But I think a lot of the thinking of the characters happened when I was writing it. When I was writing Weather the Storm, I was thinking a lot about my father. When I sing that song now, I think about what it means for me now and what it is that I would be sharing, perhaps if I had children. And so it's sort of a few steps detached from my actual dad, who's a complex and wonderful man.
You've been doing this show now for what, 2 years?
Yeah, I've done coming up on 200 performances of The Lion. I'm doing 45 shows in 40 days here in Milwaukee, I think. So yeah, I've gotten okay with the guitar in the meantime.
But to do that and to have done that for 2 years, doing it here for, 40 shows, is that couple of steps removed that you talked about, is that required for you in order to be able to do this night after night? Because you're delving into some pretty dark stuff.
Yeah.
That's yours.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not somebody else's stuff, it's your stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of that delving, Bonnie, happens from me, Benjamin Scheuer, the writer. And it, I sort of had to metaphorically open up my veins to write about what it was like to go through stage 4 cancer, to write about what it was like to get into a fight with my father and then have him die suddenly of a surprise illness before he and I could reconcile. Writing those things was incredibly hard. It required telling the truth and looking at myself in an untarnished mirror. And sometimes we really don't want to see ourselves. It's scary. Here's what I think. I think that everybody has a thing about themselves that they're scared to share. You have it. I have it. People listening, you guys, you know what it is. You have the thing about yourself. You don't want anybody to know. But the darndest thing about that is if you do write it down or you tell somebody about it, chances are one of two things will happen. The first thing is they'll probably say, oh, okay, and it won't be that important to them in as much as it won't affect them the way that affects you. But more likely, what will happen is you'll tell them the thing about yourself you're most scared to tell them that, and you think they won't want to talk to you, they won't love you, they won't think you're sexy, they won't think you're kind. And they'll say, hey, me too, because they have their version of that. It's not that we all have the same things happen to us, but we all pretty much feel the same way about the stuff that has happened. We feel scared, we feel loved, we feel alone, we feel accepted, by other people or by ourselves. That's all.
So stepping into it every night,
yeah, oh,
then
oh,
for
yes.
you, yeah. I mean, most of us don't do that. Most of us don't have the courage or think we have an interesting enough story to do what you've done with it.
Well, The Lion is my version of my story, but I found that the more specific I got with it, the more universally it resonated. Sean Daniels, the director, and I were initially confused when people would approach us after the performances of The Lion, and they'd say, hey, guys, you're... Ben, your story is just like my story. And then they tell me a story that seemingly had absolutely nothing to do with my story. My aunt got into a canoe accident, and then, she got a terrible case of shingles, and then my car broke down, and I couldn't get home, and I missed Thanksgiving dinner. And I was like, what the hell? What's going on? But I realized that actually it's just because the more specific I got with my stuff, everybody related to the universal in it. But to circle back around to your question of, is it challenging emotionally to do it every night? Well, every night I don't have to be the writer of this show. Every night I have to be the actor of this show. And they're really different jobs. If I'm in a happy mood or I'm in a hungry mood or I realize that I forgot to reply to an email, none of those emotional states matter and should affect my show. My job is to come in and deliver the material that the writer wrote and deliver it as well as I can. Now, that writer happens to be me, but sometimes the performer, I don't like the writer, Benjamin Scheuer, at all. I think he's real kind of a jerk. But my responsibility is to perform this show and let the emotions live within the writing. I don't need to feel sad when I'm singing about being sad. Similarly, I don't need to feel happy when I'm singing about being happy, but I need to be convincing that I feel like that. It's helpful to feel that way. It's not necessary.
So, Benjamin, the writer, is it a different process for Benjamin, the singer-songwriter, who's writing something different? Do you approach songwriting in the same way?
I approach songwriting in sort of in a two-pronged way. One is I try to be as honest as possible and open up my veins, even when I'm writing for other characters, even when I'm writing from the perspective of real people. If I was writing a song from your perspective, for example, or writing a song from my mother's perspective, or writing a song from a perspective of a character I invented, I try to be very, very honest. I'm also a real songwriting nerd. I'm a big fan of Stephen Sondheim's book, Rhyme and Its Reason, and his essays on rhyme and how does rhyme work as our tools? How does scansion work? How does enjambment work? You know, Verlaine Klinkenberg's book, Several Short Sentences About Writing, is a tool that I use regularly, you know, a book that I use as a guide. The Roget's 7th edition thesaurus is something I always have. My two different rhyme dictionaries I already have. So I try to be a mathematician about songwriting as well. And, you know, writing doesn't need to be easy in order for it to sound like it was easy to write. You know, Cookie Tin Banjo took me 3 months to write, though Weather the Storm took me 24 hours to write. So sometimes it flows, but sometimes it doesn't. And flow is in no way important, I think. If writing is flowing, that's great. But if it feels like a slog and you're climbing a mountain, that's okay too, as long as the finished product says what you want it to say.
Yeah, I think we sometimes get into that, if it didn't flow, it somehow is less authentic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think there's this notion of authenticity, that something needs to come from a real place in order for it to be real. I think that does a disservice to the audience. In fact, I think that people with imaginations are worth giving deference to. That if a 5-year-old talking about the dragon he saw, you know, it's as real to him, and that's maybe it's not authentic, but who on earth cares that that's not authentic? The feeling behind it is real, whether or not the thing is real. You can work and create something beautiful, and your audience thinks it's beautiful. And it doesn't mean that it needs to emotionally resonate with me every second of writing it. You know, if somebody will ask a songwriter, were you sad when you wrote the song? Well, I think that's the wrong question to be asking, because for me, songwriting takes a long time. You know, if I'm writing a sad song, it might take me 3 months. I'm not going to be sad for the entire 3 months I'm writing that song. Maybe when I started writing it, I was. But eventually, I could be really happy and think, oh, this is going to be a great song about being sad.
Well, Benjamin Scheuer, it has been such an honor and a pleasure having you in the studio, sharing some music, sharing some conversation. And actually, you're going to play one of my favorite songs from your show.
Yeah, so this is a song, it's called Golden Castle Town. And, I'll let it speak for itself. So I made my great escape. I am safe in blood and bone. I want to go away. I want to go alone. To a quiet place where time and I slow down. To a cottage in a golden castle town. So now every day for lunch, I pick tomatoes off the vine, pour some very cold white wine, and pick some sweet figs off the tree. I rest in golden calm, wander around the garden. When the sun begins to set, I take the stairs down to the sea. If you were here, you would see a man in nothing but a golden tan go clamber up the rocks alone above the perfect blue. And then you'd see him dive the 25 feet down to the water by the golden castle town.
Benjamin Scheuer performing from his one-man show, The Lion, which opens tonight at Milwaukee Rep's Stimke Theater. It runs through November 8th.
And I unbald and I unfatten.
And with this, we wrap up today's show. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Bonnie North.
I'm Mitch Tyke. Hope you can join us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee.
Out of the water, up the stairs, back to the cottage, pack my suitcase and I'm off. It's been good, this disappearance, for a while, but I smile when the airplane touches down. And I get home to New York City, home to my golden castle town.